to the show. I hope you're nice and warm if you're listening to us on the East Coast. And if you're on the West Coast, well, you're always nice and warm out there.
<I'm> sorry.
If you're in the Midwest, you got your snow a couple days ago. So, welcome to the show. You're listening to Ray and Tay today, and I'm Ray, Tom Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor, warm and toasty, 73 in Scottsdale. All I can say is I am so sorry. But you know what? We're going to warm up everybody with some good sports talk. You want to join the show, the adventure, give us a call, 718-664-9098. Like always, we'll get to some. We got to get to some today. Hit us up with your emails at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Check out the website, always interactive, a lot of fun things at rayandtaytoday.com. Tweet at us at rayandtaytoday. Like us on Facebook, because, you know, Facebook and Twitter, you know, Ray and Tay, we get back at you, man. We have some great dialogues with a lot of our fans and listeners, so that's a lot of fun. So, Ray, let them know how we're going down on the first show of the new year. Happy New Year, by the way. You ready for 2014? It's got to be better, baby.
Big things in 2014 for Ray and Tay, for our audience, for friends and family of the show. Only big things in 2014. So, yes, of course, Happy New Year to all. On this, our first episode of 2014, we got a lot of football coming your way. So we'll start with some coaching vacancies. So on Monday we talked about six coaching vacancies. A few of them have been filled. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the NFL All-Pro team being announced today. We'll get into some college football. We'll talk about Bowl Mania, bowl season coming to an end, heating up. We had a juggernaut Alabama team go down last night. We had
Shocker.
The granddaddy of them all, the Rose Bowl on Wednesday. We'll talk about that. Then we'll talk about Wild Card Weekend. We've got some great games starting Saturday at 4:30. All the games will be on TV in the local markets. The corporate sponsor stepped up. And
yes, they did.
We'll talk about that, too. But, yes, we got four Wild Card games. And then we'll end the show with a quick dribble between your legs and around your back to the hoop, and they scream, touchdown. You be illin'. We'll talk about some NBA talk. And we'll have a lot to discuss with some up-and-coming teams. The Nets and Knicks both won last night, first time that they both won on the same day against tough opponents, too. So
on the road.
On the road, exactly. We'll get into some of that. But you know what? Let's start the show off with some coaching news.
Well, he was the first one to sort of spark it off. Penn State head coach Bill O'Brien has gone back to the NFL, where he was a coordinator of the Patriots, OC, and is now the head coach of the number one draft pick, or pickers, Houston Texans, which might not stay around too long because they might trade that pick, Ray. But Bill O'Brien, I think it's a good hire for the Texans, good ownership, you know, pretty stable franchise. McNair knows what he's doing. I think O'Brien will show that he's going to be a pretty good head coach. You want to hear something? He's 44 years old, just a little bit older than Ray and Tay. These guys, they kill us. But anyway, so congrats to him. And then the NFL veteran who actually was the linebacker coach in Tampa, Lovie Smith, after sitting out a year with the Bears, is now the head coach in Tampa Bay. And smart move. I think it's a smart move. I think, the Glazer family, they already, you know, they know him. And Lovie's proven to be a winner, been to a Super Bowl, even though he lost to Peyton Manning and the Colts. I think, I don't know, what do you think about those two hires? Let's hear how Ray breaks it down, baby.
I think they're solid hires. Lovie is going back home. He was the linebackers coach there under Tony Dungy. He got his, you know, Monty Kiffin, Tampa 2. So philosophically, they know what they're getting into with Lovie. It's funny that both coaches are on the same side as the coach that was fired. So Greg Schiano was a defensive guy. Lovie's a defensive guy. And then in Houston, you're replacing Kubiak, who was an offensive quarterbacks coach and an offensive coordinator and then a head coach, with a guy, Bill O'Brien, who was an offensive guy, had a stand-up in the pocket quarterback in Brady and even at Penn State. And, you know, usually you'll try to change things up by going with the other side of the ball. But both guys seem like they're qualified for the job. Obviously, Lovie, we know what he can do. He's inheriting a great, not a great team, but better than their record would indicate, and especially if everybody's healthy. So I think Tampa is in
good
hands.
Both places just got to figure out the quarterback, right? Wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
That's their first job for both coaches.
Yeah, Mike Lennon is, you know, he didn't have a bad rookie season, so we'll see. But, yeah, good solid picks. And hey, there's still some good jobs out there, two in the NFC North. So you still got some action going on in Minnesota and Detroit. We both think that those are still pretty decent jobs, especially given Detroit has themselves a quarterback. So we'll see in the next week or so how the rest of the college jobs get filled. But
there's four jobs remaining.
Yeah.
Right, four jobs remaining, and then Tennessee met with Munchak today. I haven't heard word if they've made any decision, but chances are, I think they're going to keep him. Do you think is a shot maybe he would go to Penn State, Munchak, where? He played?
See, I don't think you leave a head coaching job to go. If you're a coordinator, that's one thing. But I don't think those head coaching jobs are gold.
Yeah,
You'd have to be told by ownership that you're done.
And they'd probably keep him because Locker got hurt. But I don't know if Locker – do you think Locker coming back is – are you excited
I was never a Locker fan.
See,
to me, if you're
I think it's holding back the franchise.
I put him in the Kyle Bowler, category. If you're not accurate in college, when are you going to be accurate? You know what I mean? Like, you're not
you mean
playing,
like Tebow? Tebow 3 years at ESPN talking college football, baby. How about that?
Oh, yeah. SEC, that's perfect for him. Perfect for him to talk about. And he probably has some good things to say. But, I don't know. I don't know about the Tennessee quarterbacking situation. But you know what? Let's transition from that to let's talk about these all-pro teams. Well, first of all, let's talk about a couple of retirements, right? Looks like from the Giants, Brandon Jacobs is going to retire. Kevin Gilbride's going to retire, so we've got a couple of guys that we'll say goodbye to, you know, Super Bowl champion Jacobs and Gilbride. You know, did some good things as an OC with the Giants, although he will always be known as the guy that Buddy Ryan clipped in
flipped
the jaw.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. But, yeah, not
we love Buddy. We love Buddy.
We love Kevin Gilbride, too, because, you know, he'll talk some stuff himself. So, yeah, so that's all good. But let's get into the elite of the elite. Let's talk about the all-pro teams. So let me read these all-pro teams to you, and you tell me what your reaction is. Tell me what you think. Tell me if something stands out to you. So let's go with the first team offense, which was weird because there is no second team quarterback. There's only one quarterback that's all pro in the
What kind of statement is that? That's kind of
weird,
right?
Yeah, that's a little weird. So first team all pro Peyton Manning. Running backs are LeSean McCoy and Jamaal Charles. The fullback is Mike Tolbert. So all seem very worthy. The tight end is Jimmy Graham from the Saints. The wide receivers are, now there's a lot of qualified guys here, but they gave it to Calvin Johnson and Josh Gordon, who sat out two games and still was unbelievable.
Amazing.
What a young stud they have. Good thing they didn't trade him. Your tackles are Joe Thomas and Jason Peters. Your interior linemen are Vasquez from Denver, Mathis from Philly, and your center is Ryan Khalil from Carolina. Your place kicker is Justin Tucker. And the rookie, Cordarrelle Patterson, is your kick returner. So anything stands out on offense?
I think if you're a Cleveland fan, you got to love that they made some good moves, but then they made a great move by not making a move and trading Josh Gordon. And if he can keep his head on straight, you've got something there on the offensive side of ball to really build with, along with Joe Thomas. And so I missing two games, and he's a Pro Bowler. That's amazing. What can you say about Jimmy Graham, right? So I think it's interesting. I definitely, and I I said it a couple of weeks ago. I was listening to an old episode, and I remember talking about it. McCoy and Jamal Charles, amazing. I mean, you mentioned it, and we discussed it on the air, over 5 yards a carry. You know, he's up there with the all-time best with Jim Brown. So you know what Jamal Charles does. And then Shady McCoy led the league in rushing. Had his did you hear the story about his championship belt, and LeBron tweeted him and wanted to get a belt and all that stuff. And Rock, Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, was like, yo, LeBron, I got you. I'll get you a belt. So that's pretty awesome. And McCoy, we both predicted and knew with Chip Kelly he would flourish. So kudos to them. So let's talk about defense. But, yo, my man, Yo Turbis, Vernon Davis, second team. We don't want to disrespect the second team offense.
No. Well, hold on now. Let's give the proper love to the first team fellas. Now,
yes.
So your two ends on defense are J.J. Watt and Robert Quinn. And if you don't know Robert Quinn,
you better get to know him because he
is a stud. Your tackles, your interior defensive linemen are Gerald McCoy from Tampa and Ndamukong Suh from Detroit.
Well deserved.
So it's interesting. So on defense, you have four linemen. You have 12 guys on defense. You have four linemen, four linebackers, and four people in the secondary. So I don't know who's counting this, but we'll take it.
They're running a 4-3 with an extra linebacker. They just got.
Yeah, you're running
that.
A 4-4. Four.
Yeah, 4-4, really.
Not so your outside linebackers are Robert Mathis from Indy and Levante David from Tampa Bay.
My man. I told you. Yeah.
That's your boy. Your interior linebackers are Luke Kuechly from Carolina and Navarro Bowman from San Francisco, who basically took the torch from his boy Patrick Willis.
I think he's the best linebacker in the league right now. Kuechly and Bowman they dominate. When you watch a Panther or a Niner game, those guys are everywhere.
Everywhere, yeah. I mean, Kuechly had that one game with 24 tackles. I mean, are you kidding me? That's just outrageous.
Hey, you know, you got a shout out though. This is great though. I mean, I know we're doing first team, but you just got a shout out. The old veteran Carlos Dansby goes back to Arizona and makes the second team. That's great. Coming back from the Dolphins, signed a one-year deal. He'll get a contract probably with Arizona or somebody. He deserves
it. And his teammate Patrick Peterson out there in the desert is one of the cornerbacks, along with Richard Sherman up in Seattle. The safeties are Sherman's teammate, Earl Thomas, and Eric Berry. And good for Eric Berry coming back off the knee injury. Blew out his knee a couple years ago and came back and is healthy. And then the punter is Johnny Hecker from St. Louis. So kudos to
all good.
Nothing controversial on the defense, right? Quinn's an up-and-coming stud. Levante David, you know, he made that silly foul against the Jets in week one, basically giving them the game. But this guy was awesome. He was left off the player and fan choice, but it looked like ultimately that was rectified. For the Pro Bowl, that was rectified.
One thing that I notice, it's not a complaint, but I would say this. Robert Mathis, you know, he could have definitely been, first team. I think he definitely...
No, Robert Mathis was first team. He was first team. Mathis and David were the first team linebackers.
Robert Mathis was first team?
Yeah, Robert Mathis was first team.
Oh, okay, good. I was going to say...
And then second team, so here's the controversy. So second team... Maybe
Brooks.
Because he got hurt, was Tom Bali and Ahmad Brooks. And then on the outside, and then inside you had Burfict and your boy Carlos Dansby as the second team linebackers.
Yeah, and we know about Avantez Burfict. I mean, he's incredible for the Bengals. A couple notes you got to notice that I think are fascinating, like, you know, the Panthers defense, Niners defense. You got some guys from Tampa. And then you got a couple of Buffalo Bills, right? Mario Williams gets up there, Greg Hardy for the Panthers. But then in the backfield, Jarius Byrd made it. So that's good for him because he was worried about and trying to get the contract. You got to believe between Earl Thomas and Shermer, the Seahawks have possibly, or maybe without a doubt, the best secondary in the NFL.
Yeah, I got to think without a doubt because – when they're all healthy, We haven't even talked about Cam Chancellor, who's a linebacker's body playing safety, right?
Yeah, he's amazing.
He's a perennial All-Pro too. So if they can have all of them together, they're definitely – well, they got some suspension issues they're going to be dealing with Browner.
Browner,
But Sherman, Browner, Thomas, and Cam Chancellor, I mean, that's a secondary. Woo, that's big time.
Oh, that's amazing. We got a shout-out to Lee for the Patriots. He was awesome this year. And Joe Hayden from the Browns, he was locking down everybody. So, you know, a lot of talent. A lot of talent.
Boy, Eric Weddle made it. So Eric Weddle,
good for him,
and Cam Chancellor and Jarius Byrd, along with Devin McCourty and Trell Roll. So they gave a lot of love on the second team. They got a lot of safeties in the second team.
Well, Antron Roll, he had a big year for the Giants. A lot of interceptions. I think he was third in the NFL in interceptions. So good for him.
Yeah, shout out to our Jets. We got a Jet on the team, Muhammad Wilkerson.
You know what? He
and our boy Sheldon Richardson might be on the team next year.
Well, I was going to say, shoot, he's going to be first-team all-rookie. He deserved it. The Jets, you got to think positive about the Jets. Jets fans got to think positive. Speaking of thinking positive, let's talk about some college football. Does the SEC have to think positive after their sort of crowning champion took a spanking last night in the Sugar Bowl? Oklahoma, ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't heard, took it to Bama, 45-31. Freshman quarterback. I was shocked, Ray. Tell everybody what you thought. And, you know, they kind of held Yeldon in check and the running game, and McCarron wasn't, you know, a stud. Oklahoma got a lot of sacks. What did you think about this game, man?
You know, at the end of the day, Oklahoma is still a major college football program. They underachieved a little bit last few years because they were the class of the Big 12 for many years. But what they were able to do, and here's the thing in this day and age of college football. If you have yourself a mega athlete, make him a defensive end, because the key to football on defense with this offenses, with these high-powered offenses, and we talked a little bit
pressure
about this off air, is getting pressure to the quarterback with four guys. If you can get to the quarterback with four guys, it opens up so much. It allows you to do innovative things on defense. It covers up a weak secondary. It allows you to run all kinds of,
blitzes,
nickel and dime packages. Or you could blitz, because if you're getting there with four, you're certainly going to get to them faster with five or six. So that was the key, ultimately, is that Oklahoma was able to get to A.J. McCarron with four guys. Now, A.J. McCarron is a senior, and he should be able to handle the pressure, but pressure makes people crack. And A.J. McCarron had the two interceptions, and they had the one fumble by T.J. Yeldon, and couldn't really overcome it.
His own player hit that out of him. You saw that, right? His own player.
They were always playing from behind. And Trevor Knight, a guy who, you know, he was in a battle with Bell, and we talked about this with our guy,
Charles Davis,
how they were, Blake Bell and he were fighting for who was going to be the quarterback. And, you know, that old saying, if you got two quarterbacks, you have none. And Knight is more of a running quarterback.
He's established himself.
I mean, what a game. 32 for 44, almost 350 yards, four touchdowns. This is pretty amazing. And you know what? It's, at the end of the day, though, let's remember, this is not David and Goliath, right? This is David and David Jr. So Oklahoma is not, a one-double-A school, you know. So everybody
still
was
an upset, though.
It was an upset. And, hey, I thought Oklahoma was going to win. I mean, I'm sorry. I thought Alabama was going to win. We both did. We thought Alabama was going to take all of their SEC conference championship frustration out. But you know what?
Yeah.
Your boy had a good point. He was saying how the Oklahoma team basically took it to them, and Nick Saban was saying how when you're in Alabama, you've got to realize that playing Alabama football is not easy. Everybody's coming at you every game.
Every single game, yeah.
Every
game. Bringing 110%.
They're the
heavyweight. They're the hunted. And it's hard to instill this notion of being the hunter all the time, because you've got to be hungry. You to go undefeated, to win a national championship, you've got to be hungry every single game. And I still feel like there was a carryover for them losing in the SEC championship game and then not playing for a national championship. And that
You'd have to not be human for there to be some sort of effect. I'll say this, though. Two promising things. Obviously, Henry, 100 yards on 8 carries.
He was the best freshman runner in the country, so he'll be the man next year.
Exactly. And so that's nice for Alabama. Now, McCarron, 387 yards. Can he be a backup quarterback in the NFL, A.J. McCarron?
I think he makes some pretty good decisions. If the guy who he sat behind, Greg McElroy, was backup for the Jets for a little bit, why not? Look, is he one of the 32 best quarterbacks or projects to be? No. Is he one of the 64 best quarterbacks? Maybe not. Is he one of the 90 best quarterbacks? Like, could he be a third-string quarterback? Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think this guy doesn't usually make mistakes. He had a phenomenal college career. He threw something like, I don't know, 12, 14,
and much more than a game manager. For people who labeled him as that, that's definitely not fair. And I think he proved it in outdueling Manziel this year and other big victories. So kudos to him.
Yeah, we have a caller. Let's see what the caller's got. Hello, caller. You're on the air with Ray and Tay.
Guys, Mike in Pittsburgh. How's it going?
Hey, Mike. What's going on?
Happy New Year, buddy.
Happy New Year, guys. Hey, I got to get this off my chest about this game last night, Alabama and Oklahoma. I tell you what, guys, these bowl games, people overreact to. Let me see Oklahoma beat Alabama in the regular season on a neutral field.
No,
they
wouldn't.
Excited.
You're
exactly right. They wouldn't, because 100%, when Alabama lost that game to Auburn, they can say as much as they want is this game matters to them. But we see it year in and year out. It's like we're going to see when Ohio State tonight, when they lost their chance, what Clemson's going to do to them. Guys, I'll give you an analogy. Let's have the AFC and NFC championship games and then wait a month and have the Super Bowl. It's a total joke.
Right.
So many things change. Coaching changes. When you have a month layoff, players getting ready for the combine in the NFL, these teams aren't really who they are. And you see these bowl upsets, and everyone's like, well, next year, Oklahoma, look what they got coming back. Let me see them beat Alabama in the regular season game before I get excited, because these bowl games, other than the national championship game, you're not going to get both teams' best effort. One team's going to be high, one's low. They're there for different reasons. So I take really nothing from Oklahoma beating Alabama last night.
I got to agree, but I'll say this. For the program, the fans, it's big, right, especially because Stoops, he was running his mouth and talking about it, and they kind of backed it up. So I think for some fans who don't know what you and Ray and I know about all those downsides that you pointed out, because it's totally true, to the the regular fan tuning in to watch Oklahoma, they're like, wow, Alabama lost. You know what I mean? So I think for Oklahoma, for recruits, these type of things and these type of victories are very important, but the system has got to change. We need a 16-team playoff, not even a 4-team. And until college football really gets it, and we'll see something next year, at least with the 4, it'll never be, a perfect situation, but it's going to get a little bit better next year.
Yeah, and remember, these are also – and look, Mike, I think you're 100% right. And remember, these are – it's hard enough for grown men in the NFL to do it, let alone for – 18, 19, 20, 21-year-old kids who are two-time defending national champs. It's hard for them to get up for a game, 40 days after they lost their conference championship, to get up for a game which would solidify their place as the third, fourth, or fifth best team in the country, or maybe second best team in the country. So, no, you have a great point, but that's what college is all about, though, right? If they played on a neutral field 10 times, Alabama beat them 9 times. But
when you have more than a week, a bye week, like in the NFL, when you start getting into 2-3 weeks, I mean, so many things change, and it's not that team that you just saw 3 weeks ago playing. It could be something totally different going on, so that's the one reason I'm excited about the college football playoff. I still would rather have them get the playoff going sooner after the regular season's over than, you know, having these, you know, 3 weeks layoff, because like I said, you know, that's the great thing about the NFL is, you know, 1 week bye, and then you get back, you know. But these long layoffs, these bowl games, it just blows my mind how people overreact to these games. And, you know, like I said earlier, this game tonight, Ohio State and Clemson, Ohio State's probably the better team to me. But when you lose to Michigan State in your conference and championship after Urban Meyer started, you know, 20-0, you know, 2 years at Ohio State, how can't there be a letdown? How can they come out and be fully focused when they're thinking we should be playing in the national championship game, and now we're in the Orange Bowl, you know, after, you know, we lost one game in 2 years? I mean, that sounds like a letdown to me, guys. I don't know what you think.
Now, is that the Pittsburgh coming out in you, or a little hate on Ohio, or
we hate the Pitt Panthers here. Trust me, no one's excited about them at all.
So Mike, I take it you're taking Clemson over Ohio State, but everybody's sort of forgetting this game. It's on Fox. What do you think about? I think this could be like 100 points. What about Oak State, Missouri? Who are you picking? That's going to be the fun game.
Well, you said it right. I would take the over in that Clemson Ohio State game. I think we're going to see a shootout. As far as the Missouri game, we're kind of looking at the same thing. Missouri was playing Auburn for a chance to go to the national championship. They lose. Now they're playing in a bowl game, you know, which is kind of a little different because they rarely get to a game like this. But and, you know, still they had that chance for the national championship. And when these teams have it and they go to another bowl game, I see it, you know, 9 times out of 10, there's a letdown and another team comes up and bites them.
Definitely. All right. Well, listen, great having you. I got to ask you this. Were you surprised about Michigan State beating Stanford?
Not really. Although, let me say this about the game real quick, guys. I thought that I love the Stanford coach, but I thought that last 7 minutes of that game was managed very badly.
Questionable play calls. Yeah.
6 minutes left, guys, and they're in the Michigan State red zone. They got there one time the entire game, and they decide to kick a field goal on 4th and 6. And then at the end of the game, you know, they're at the 25-yard line with 2 minutes and 30 seconds. And, yeah, I know they got stopped on 4th and 1, but, you know, it took them a minute to get 10 yards. Even if they get that first down, you know, he just got too conservative in the end, in my opinion.
Yeah, playing from behind was an issue. But you know what? That's a game, though. That was a great game. And I thought that those two teams, if they played on a neutral field, it would be 5-5. Well, I think it would be close.
Because
Michigan State defense, that nation's best defense, running up against that Stanford defense, you know what? That's a coin flip. But, you know, I guess the one thing I would say is that in terms of conferences, I thought the Big 12 needed this win by Oklahoma. And I thought it was a big win by the Big 10 to have Michigan State win. And obviously, if Ohio State were to win for them, that would really salvage a pretty decent year for the Big Ten. So I think there's a lot riding on this, you know, sort of the Clemson-Ohio State game for the ACC versus the Big Ten in terms of bragging rights and positioning, you know, behind the SEC.
Guys, I had a question for you guys, and then I'll hang up here. Does the cold weather this weekend in Green Bay give them a chance now against San Francisco, because it's going to be brutal. The ice pole, too, they're calling it, whatever. Yeah. Does weather like that actually even the playing field out and give them a chance against the Niners?
I think so. I think if this were on a neutral field or if this were in San Francisco, I think the Niners would win fairly easily. In this game, I think the Niners still win, but it's a close game. I mean, this is a fourth quarter. Who has the ball last in the fourth quarter? To me, anyways, a low-scoring game. Yeah. I think the fact that Green Bay now with Eddie Lacy and has a running game.
Well, that's, yeah.
the one thing that, that people hate to do is tackle, you know, in the cold weather. And so I like Green Bay. I like them to keep it close, but I think ultimately the Niners, except for explosiveness, the Niners don't have a weakness. So I really think that the Niners will, unless Kaepernick makes a critical mistake, I think this is a close, close Niner win. But, yes, the weather is the equalizer.
And you know what I was going to say, and you hit on it, forget about the weather. The equalizer to me is, you know, second-team running back Eddie Lacy. Starks has also played pretty well this season. The Packers can run the ball. Rodgers is going to heat up with his players, having Cobb and Nelson. You know, but also don't forget the Niners secondary is not as good. I think they're missing Golston this year. Reed is played well, but overall I think that that is what is going to give the Packers a decent shot to even upset them. But I'd have to pick the Niners in a close one as well. But it's going to be fun. It's going to
take
be
care,
fun.
Guys. Take
thanks
care,
a lot.
Mike.
We'll
take
talk
care.
To you soon, Mike. Thanks for calling.
Happy New Year.
Yeah. So to finish off where Mike basically took us, you know, real quick, because we want to get to the NFL playoffs, I'm going to say Clemson tonight over Ohio State, and I think it will be high scoring. And I would say Clemson and Taj Boyd and Watkins, they ball out. And I think that Boyd outplays Miller. And I would say Clemson wins something like 34-31, 33-30. It's going to be up in there. But I'll take Clemson in that game.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I appreciate Mike's call, and I like what he said, and really what Alabama experienced, Ohio State is possibly going to experience. But I think Urban Meyer is such a phenomenal coach that
yeah.
he will get his players refocused, and they're
yeah.
not the two-time defending national champions, right?
Right,
so
right.
For
they
them,
could have
last
more to prove.
Year they were, yeah, exactly. Last year they were on probation, so they went undefeated and under the radar screen, right? It's a lot like about 15, 20 years ago when Terry Bowden was at Auburn, and they were on probation, and they went undefeated. So
good point.
I think
yeah.
that the Ohio State Buckeyes represent and take mm. care of business for the Big Ten. And in a fairly high-scoring game, I think Carlos Hyde and Braxton Miller run together for 250
Roll
yards.
Oof.
And I think that the Buckeyes win shootout 31-30.
That's great. And I tell you this, Carlos Hyde, if they do win, he will be the player of the game. Put him up for like 130 and two TDs. Now, Oak State against Missouri. I actually don't think Missouri is going to, you know, be on the downside because they're like Ohio State. It's still, you know, Ohio State doesn't, it's not program building, right? But it's Urban Meyer, what he's building. But with Missouri, it's still program building, SEC. I actually think Missouri is they're going to flex a little bit. And I like what that team has done all year, even early on when I, you know, had to eat some crow and I didn't believe in them. Well, they made me a believer and I'm going to stick with them now. I think Missouri wins 37-33 over Oak State.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
I like Oklahoma
some...
State in this game. I think they should have won
okay.
against Oklahoma in the Big 12 championship.
No,
I think
Oklahoma
they
smacked.
Have enough talent. No, that was a close game at the end.
Well, at the end, they came back. But, I mean, in terms of the way Oklahoma just, oh, they put it on them early. They mentally, it was, I think they took them
I
out of
Oak
there.
Oak State's got something for them. I think that
okay.
Missouri basically played their game, which was their championship game, and lost to Auburn in the SEC championship game. So I like Oklahoma State. I think that that the Cowboys are going to pull one out. And the coach, I'm 40. What did he say? He said, I'm a man. If they got something to say to me, I'm a man. I'm 40.
Oh, I love it. I love it. No, you got to love that. Before we leave college football, I feel bad for the ASU fans out here. They, you know, they lost to Texas Tech and pretty good beating, 37-23. But I got to say this. We spoke about it off air. And by the way, LSU got the best running back in the country in that high school game yesterday. He committed to, you know, he's from New Orleans, and he committed to LSU. So that should be fun for them. But I got to say this. Johnny Manziel, I would actually come out of my pocket, Ray, to purchase a ticket to watch him play in the NFL. And it's
let
something
it be
that
known, Tay will
we,
sit at home I, with his TV and his big screen and get the popcorn ready. So leaving the house and going to see and pay money to see Manziel,
yeah,
is a big deal, folks.
Well, listen, you know, I paid to see lesser players, but you know, and I definitely always pay, you know, to see my Steelers, so the Steelers Cardinals out here. But I would travel if he, let's say, was going to the team and they were, you know, not coming to Arizona, maybe they were coming to San Diego. I would like to see Manziel next year. He might not be a starter, but you know what? This guy is an NFL quarterback, and I think his size, though, he's smaller than Vic, and he could get crumbled. But his heart and his arm and his flair, that is an NFL quarterback, and I can't wait. I don't love the kid from UCF, even though they won and had a good game. I'm not overly impressed, and I do like Teddy Bridgewater. This quarterback class is not great. It's good. But Manziel, he's going to play on Sundays. So.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I would agree with you. I think he's one of the 32 best quarterbacks. He'll be a starting quarterback in the NFL, if not at the beginning of the season, then certainly by midseason.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I think what will happen is he'll be drafted by a bad team, and that bad team might have a quarterback ahead of him. But ultimately, it's almost like Terrell Pryor, but I like him much better than Terrell Pryor. If you're a bad team, probably you have a bad offensive line. Probably you need a guy who can make plays. And if
spark
there's one thing
up,
Johnny
right.
Manziel can do is make plays. Now, he might get knocked out. He might be too small.
He's better than
in
Locker.
In the long run for 16 games.
Tennessee. Yeah.
But Johnny Manziel can play. And I think he'll be a starting quarterback. Hold on. Looks like we have another caller.
Hi.
Hello, caller. You're on the air with Ray and Tay.
Hi. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Arnold,
hello, Arnold. How are you?
How are
you? You got a question for us?
That's right, I am. If I'm not me, who the hell am I?
You're
no
on
question.
The air? You've got a question?
So what can I do for you?
All right, I think someone's having fun here, but...
Yeah, I think someone's having a good time. All right, so we don't
know
who that
calling.
Is. Thanks for calling, yeah. So anyway, let's
so
get
listen.
Back to... Let's
yeah, it's time to get to the NFL, so let's just take a quick break, and it's Wild Card Weekend. Ray and Tay.
We're back. We're back to talk NFL Wild Card Weekend, one of the most exciting weekends. In sports, you got four games starting. Get your clocks right because you got four games starting Saturday afternoon, 4:35 and 8:10. And then on Sunday, you have normal start times, 1 o'clock and 4:40. So let's take them in order. First game, 4:35 on Saturday, Kansas City at Indianapolis, a rematch of a game that took place, 3 weeks ago in Kansas City.
Well, we got to talk about health and, you know, Houston and Tamba Ali might both, you know, be healthy enough to play. Tamba is what a game time decision. I think that is definitely going to be a factor in this matchup. But the one thing that I will take out of this game that, you know, you got two number one picks, Alex Smith from years back, you know, starting to live up to it a little bit in the last 2 years. And then Andrew Luck, who in his second season is just, he does more with less, and he's really incredible. We threw him in our segment about doing more with less. I think that the Colts have found a running game in Brown, Richardson a little power with it. I think their defense has been underrated all year, and Hilton has found a way to get open and step up without Reggie Wayne and kind of ball out. He had over 1,000 receiving yards and 5 touchdowns. I think the Colts are just a little bit too much, and I think Dwayne Bowe and the other receivers cannot get open. And Charles, they'll kind of try to lock him down like they did before. And I think they win a close one. I got the Colts 24-20 over the Chiefs in a pretty decent game.
I think the Colts win, and I think they win pretty big. I think they win something like 30-20. Ever since their 9-0 start, The Chiefs have never been the same. Ali and Houston go down. Now, hopefully they both play if you're a Chiefs fan. But ultimately, this team has never been the same. They lost their swagger. And then
you know who's the biggest Chief fan, right? Pimpin' ain't easy.
Yeah.
Jay
no
Robinson,
doubt.
Man, my cousin. He's a big Chief fan from way back.
Is he
going to
be wearing a Derrick Brooks jersey? Or what's he doing?
No, you be he might have rocked Jamal Charles. I don't know, but
okay.
Jay
all
is,
right. Well,
he's
Jamal
a real
Charles
fan.
Is really their only playmaker. You know, even Dwayne Bowe isn't quite. Or Dexter McCluster maybe makes some plays, but the problem is I don't believe they can play from behind. So they need the formula for Kansas City is to get ahead and play from ahead and win that way. Because I don't think I think once Indianapolis gets ahead of them, they might force Alex Smith to make a few plays. He might make some, but he'll make a mistake here or there. And I like this team. I like this Colts team this week. I think that the Kansas City Chiefs, they lost it midseason. Now, it's a great turnaround story, and Andy Reid is probably going to be coach of the year. But this is the Colts. I think the Colts win this. Hold on. Looks like we have another caller. Let's see what the caller wants to talk about. Hello, caller. You're on the air with Ray and
Hello?
Day. Hello?
I'm Barack Obama. How are you?
Hello, Barack.
You know Barack, don't you?
You
had a question for me. We wanted to call up and answer it personally.
All right. What's your question?
No, he thinks we have
and
a question for him.
Begging Barack to stop.
All right.
We have a question. All right. It sounds like somebody's having some fun at Ray and Tay's expense. We're all
with
about
some
fun,
technology.
But,
yeah, let's focus on what's going
fun.
On here.
Talk about football.
Well, I think this second game, this is going to be fun. Everybody's worried. Can Drew Brees travel? They're 3-5 on the road. Having one on the road in the playoffs, yada, yada, yada. Well, if they're going to beat anybody, this might be the team they could beat because of the fact that it's a first-time coach. The Eagles secondary, you know, they step up and play well, but they have some issues. But you know what? Right now, unfortunately for the Saints, they're running into a hot team. It might only be 27 degrees. You know, it's not going to be freezing, but Foles is hot. Highest rated quarterback, leading rusher McCoy. DeSean Jackson balled out. 1,300 yards, 9 touchdowns. DeSean Jackson's got a gripe, but he's like, hey, I had 82 receptions. How come I'm not a Pro Bowler? But the defense is playing well. I think right now the Eagles are a dangerous team in this NFC playoffs, and I think they got exactly what they need in the Saints team who, for some reason, does not travel. And Pierre Thomas is a game-time probably decision. So
I think he was ruled out today. I think Pierre Thomas is out.
Okay. So then they got to go with the one guy that I like. Forget about Sproles and Ingram. I like Robinson, Kyrie Robinson. I think they need to play this kid more. I think he's got some explosiveness that you saw in the one game this season, but they got to give him the rock. Jimmy Graham, Pro Bowler. We know about Drew Brees. I'm going to just say that the Eagles win, but I think it's I'll go 26-24. Late field goal to take the lead and win. 23 degrees Fahrenheit game time.
And the Saints are a terrible road team, and the Saints are worried about their jerseys and their warm-ups, and you could tell that it's gotten to them. So everything
they switched their Gatorade
about
too.
This game, everything about this game tells me not to take them. But I've said all along, I felt that there was something special about these Saints this year. I thought that picking up Rob Ryan on defense helps them. I thought that the turnaround with Sean Payton, I predicted Sean Payton would be coach of the year. So something tells me that this Saints team can score, even though they haven't done it on the road. I think that the Eagles' D is inconsistent. I mean, they've been playing well certain games and poorly in other games. So I think the Eagles revert back to what they did a couple weeks ago in Minnesota, and I have this sneaky suspicion that with the fact
Ray's
that they can't
sneaky.
Hold the ball, time of possession, they can score in, you know, a minute or two, and they can also go three and out several times. So I like this Saints team. If this game were anywhere else, I would say the Saints win big, but this is in Philly. I think the Saints actually squeak one out. I think they win 31-28.
31-28.
Saints, yes.
how about them saying, okay, you're going against Tay. You know, we'll see.
Yeah, let's see. Hold on. Looks like we might have another caller. Let's see if this is a real caller
or maybe leave it alone. Playing
some games. Hold on just one sec. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hello.
Tay?
It's me, Pee-wee.
All right.
Yeah, let's leave it on. You know, we got a lot of calls. Right now we're live on Blog Talk Radio, so we're getting a lot of weird stuff. But we are on Blog Talk Radio under sports. Ray and Tay is featured as a live podcast, so maybe that's why we're getting a lot of extra attention. So for those who are really listening, let's go on to Sunday, the Chargers. Ray's pick, when I said you're not ready, I predicted them to make the playoffs and play these Bengals, and you know what? I made that bold prediction that they would go to Cincinnati and win. So I got to stick with it. I can't back down now. And the reason why I won't is because of Phillip Rivers and Matthews. I think Matthews got over his 1,200 yards. He didn't really practice with the ankle. That's okay. Keenan Allen's a beast. I just think this team, they got something special going on. And I think even though Andy Dalton has the potential to pass and have this offense with Giovanni and Green and Green Ellis and everybody do what they need to do, I think Rivers finds a way. And they play a little bit better. They played him earlier in San Diego, and they didn't really touch Andy Dalton. But this time I think the Chargers get some pressure. And I think the Chargers get an upset in Cincinnati. So I'll take the San Diego Chargers 27-24.
Super Chargers.
27-24. That's Tay's pick.
I said that the Cincinnati Bengals were the class of this division. They go 11-5. They actually lost a couple games they could have won. They could have been 13-3 potentially. So I have to go with the Saints. I mean, I have to go with the Bengals. I went with the Saints too, but I have to go with the Bengals. I think that Marvin Lewis needs this. We talked about this before, how he has zero playoff wins. If he loses 11-5 to a 9-7 Charger team, number six seed, I think this wouldn't bode well for him. So the pressure's on a little bit in Cincinnati. But I do think this year that between the defense, now losing Geno Atkins in the middle of the year was a big deal, but you know what? They bounced back. And I love the balance that they have on offense. So if Andy Dalton can make a few plays, then this is something that really bodes well for Cincinnati in the future. And I love this little combination of Giovanni Bernard, the little scat back, and Benjamin Green Ellis, and the law firm, the all-pro A.J. Green, and then across from him you've got Jones and Sanu and the two tight ends. So as long as Andy Dalton doesn't make a critical mistake, I love this Cincinnati Bengals offense. I think they'll be tough at home. I think they win fairly easily. I got them putting up 33-24, so a pretty high-scoring game.
All right. Why don't you lead us in the last game?
So last game of the season
weekend.
Of this wild card weekend, San Francisco at Green Bay. So they've played last three times, San Francisco has won. So San Francisco is a 12-4, number five seed going to a an 8-7-1, number four seed. So we can talk about that some other time, but wow, big game. What do you think?
Well, I think what's fascinating, we already touched on it with Mike, is that this is a different Packer team, right? They, with Eddie Lacy and Starks, they have some real running power now. I think they were banged up most of the season. They're getting a little healthy now. And I think this Packer team, and now they got the sellout and the crowd, they're going to be ready to ball out. And I think Aaron Rodgers is the man. But my only problem is Vernon Davis, Frank Gore, Crabtree, Anquan Boldin. And I think Kaepernick, what he can do is, if the secondary does a good job for Green Bay, this guy can take off and run, and he'll get the first downs. He plays smart. It's just too much. I think Green Bay's defense can't handle Gore and just the running game in general, Hunter as well, and the pounding that the Niners do with the great offensive line. But the Packers keep it close. I think turnovers also could be a key. But I think Lacy will have a pretty good game. Already had 1,100 yards in the season and could run for a good 80 to 100 yards. But I'll take the Niners in a close one. So I think actually they're going to pull this one out. I'd say maybe 24-23. Kaepernick gets what he needs and they kick a game-winning field goal.
Wow, you think it's going to be that close? Okay.
Yeah, I think Green Bay at home will keep it close.
So Green
Definitely
Bay
cover to spread.
Is a tough place to play on the road, and I don't know why they didn't sell out, but they finally, I guess with some corporate sponsors, sold out. So it'll be packed. Lambeau Field, the frozen tundra.
You know why? The temperature is why. Nobody wants to sit in all that cold, man.
Yeah, but the temperature in Green Bay's always been bad in January,
no,
in December,
know,
and January, right? So these guys,
know,
are they're built for that. You know, Sundays in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and the playoff Sunday? What? Everybody's
playoffs.
At the stadium. Or playoffs?
Yeah.
So I think that Green Bay, I wouldn't be surprised if they won, because I'm not predicting them to win. Let me just put that out there.
No,
but
I wouldn't
be surprised
either.
If they did, because they have the formula, right? They have home field. They have Aaron Rodgers. And they have a running game now. So even though their defense can be suspect at times, they do turn you over, and they've got Lambeau Field. I mean, that's got to be a home field advantage. Now, the good thing about the Niners, though, is that defense typically travels. Your running game travels, and they have a big, strong quarterback in Kaepernick who can zip it when he needs to. So I think that they are good enough to win. The Niners are, even on the road. So I think the Niners ultimately pull away in the second half. I think Vernon Davis maybe breaks a big play. I think Crabtree coming back really helps them balance on offense. But I think that ultimately it's Kaepernick and Gore running the ball. And remember that Kaepernick gashed them, what, for 181 yards last year?
One
in
of
the
best
game.
Playoff performances
most,
ever. Yeah.
Yeah, the most running yards ever at the quarterback position in NFL playoff history. So you could believe that the Green Bay Packers are going to want to stop him, and they'll be ready for him. But I still think he gets enough. I think he gets 60, 70 yards on the ground, makes a couple critical first downs, and I think ultimately the Niners just have too much. So I think the Niners win this game 27-23.
Well, it's the perfect time. We got our picks to switch and end the show strong to the hole with the NBA. And the last team to do this Texas trio road trip with the Spurs tonight, the Knicks play the Rockets and the Mavericks, to sweep it, the 2008 championship Boston Celtics. Just want to give you that tidbit. Last night, the Knicks, for Knick Nation, stand up, and at 10-21, you know, you still got a shot. Only 5.5 games behind the Raptors to make the playoffs, but that was a great performance. Shumpert and Melo, 27. Amari looked good. JR was playing a little, you know, alive. And the Knicks had a big win in San Antonio. So let's see what they do against the Rockets tonight. You mentioned it in the preview, right? The Brooklyn Nets, this guy, just Johnson, always hitting these buzzer beaters. They beat OKC, who seems to be struggling a little bit without our boy Westbrook. And we, you know, spoke about how far would they drop. And, you know, we'll see. It could get bad. They've only lost two in a row, but we'll see what happens, 7-3 in their last 10. So they're still a strong team. But the three, to finish the trio of big road wins, Stephen Curry, 36-12. Him, Thompson with Bogut, Lee, when they get shooting like that, Iguodala and Barnes, they've now moved up to the sixth seed in the West after just being out of the playoffs a couple of, you know, 2 weeks ago when we spoke about it. They're 21-13, and the Warriors went down and took care of the Heat last night. What stood out to you just in the, you know, quick little whipping around the NBA in terms of some of these wins and what else is, you know, coming up to bat?
So I want to say something for New York basketball fans. We needed a 2014 start that included something that, you know, something to look forward to. And the Knicks and the Nets winning on the road on the same night, that's exciting. Now, it could be false hope. It could be that the rosters are fundamentally flawed. The Nets are old and have salary cap problems. The Knicks are getting old, have salary cap problems, and have a Carmelo decision to make. But you know what? At the very least, it was exciting to see that both teams won against great opponents. Joe Johnson hit a big shot and gave them some oomph. Iman Shumpert coming back, really great news for the Knicks, either to keep him or to trade him.
He balled out, too.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. He had 27 along with Carmelo. So really great night for New York basketball. And for two teams that are this bad and that look this you know, discombobulated, it was nice to see them. You know, I've got to say that I hate to see people at the end of their career just kind of, you know, fade out. And I hate to say it, but it looks like that's what's happening to Garnett and Pierce. And it's horrible to see these guys because you remember them. I mean, remember Garnett, you know, coming from high school, Pierce coming from college, you know, that great run he had at Kansas. But
Kansas,
you remember these guys, you know, obviously for Garnett, the beginning of his career in Minnesota and the second half of his career in Boston, and then Pierce, all the great work he did in Boston. So you want to see these guys
at least
out swinging, but it's like the life has been taken out of them.
Yeah, no, I mean, it is kind of rough. I'll tell you this, you know who I've been impressed with still in a big win the other night, the Blazers winning at OKC. You know, they were down 16 and they came back and won. I think they've been playing good. The Phoenix Suns have continued to play well. That backcourt of Dragic and Bledsoe might need to get some all-star consideration. You know, and tonight we'll see the Knicks against the Rockets, who've been pretty steady. They're the fifth seed in the West. And, you know, I think it was a great win against the Spurs, but the Rockets, we'll see, you know, with Howard and those guys, you know, what
the
Knicks could do.
On a back-to-back in Texas, that's a tough road trip. Remember, that was the road trip Bernard King at his back-to-back 50s.
Oh, lit it up. Yes, BK Love all day.
The Hall of Famer. See, we didn't even have to go far with our petition to get Bernard King in the Hall of Fame.
No, I think it was perfect that it was just 1 year. But, you know, hey, anytime you could talk about Bernard King, I think as a Knicks fan, you got to be happy. But, you know, I hope Raymond Felton might come back soon for the Knicks and be a part of this, you know, trip. But probably
well, there's
be
some
back
injuries
Tuesday.
Out there, right? Dirk turned his ankle. He's questionable. They're saying that Steve Nash might come back in February. Kyrie Irving's out for a couple games with that knee. And
fantasy basketball team.
That Rondo, they're going with the baseball. They're going with the baseball technique. The Yankees really started it with sending their stars down to the minor leagues. So now the NBA might use that. Danny Ainge was saying that Rajon Rondo is behind going to the D League to start his rehab there.
Well, C.J. McCollum did it for the Blazers, so, yeah.
Well,
I,
but
know,
there's a difference between C.J. McCollum and Rajon Rondo,
no,
right?
Definitely.
Rajon Rondo, you know, is an all-pro,
all-world.
An all-star, yeah. All-world. He's got a title. So I thought that was interesting. Oh, the other thing I wanted to tell you about, news from the NBA, you know, your son scratched Bledsoe, so he's got a bad knee, but that's just looks like it's just one game. But our boy Andre Miller was suspended for two games. But he was suspended for conduct detrimental to the team. So what's that all about?
Well, I don't think Andre Miller and Brian Shaw are getting along. It's Ty Lawson's team, and it's hard, right? He's a veteran playing less minutes. And I think there's a couple of teams that might be interested in Andre Miller. So he could be moving along and getting traded. And I think as we get closer to the deadline, you know, we might have to talk to some of our guys, Ian Begley or Peter Vesey. I think there's going to be some interesting NBA trades this year. I really do.
Oh, we got one big news, an injury. Oh, we forgot to report this. Al Horford tore his pec and is out for the season, had surgery.
Oh, gosh.
You hate
well,
to
that
see
kills
that.
The Hawks with the third seed. Yeah,
just
yeah,
the Hawks
yeah,
are
no,
playing
no.
well.
Well, you know, this is – it's hard, you know. I mean, but that just makes Paul Millsap all the more important and more valuable. So, you know, that's what it is in the NBA. I mean, maybe the Knicks and Nets can move up, when we'll see the Hawks and the Bobcats / Hornets drop out, and Ray won't have to wear a Bobcats
jersey.
And tweet it out, homie. You got to tweet it out, homie. You can't just rock it. You got to tweet it out.
I'll tweet it out. If they make the playoffs this year, I'll tweet it out.
Well, now they got a shot, right, in their own division with the Heat and the Hawks. The Hawks, you know, dropping down. We'll see. We'll see. I mean, look, the NBA is always heating up. Should be some fun, some good games tonight. These college football games are going to be great. And you know what? NFL playoffs, Monday, we will be talking about it. We got a special guest on Monday, too. You know, Ray, I don't know if you want to let him know.
Yeah, we have a guest. He's a sports documentarian. He did a couple documentaries. He works with Bobby Valentine, but he's also on his own with that production crew, done a baseball and a really interesting one about Bobby Thompson, the pitcher, Ralph Branca, who threw the pitch to Bobby Thompson, the home run heard around the world.
The Giants won the pennant.
Yeah, exactly. And also great about NCAA sports and the whole business of college sports. So really interesting. Tune in on Monday. We had a great show. Thanks for joining us. If you're cold, stay warm. If you're warm, stay warm. And have a great weekend. Have a great sports weekend. Thanks for spending some time with us. We hope to brighten up your day on Monday again. And,
oh, yeah, listen. And I got to just thank all the fans and listeners. You know, Ray and Tay, we definitely talk about our kids and family. And my mother, Cheryl Taylor, is coming home from rehab. We'll be home Saturday, so I'll be – happy about that, and I just thank everybody for their well wishes and prayers. So, Ray and Tate today, man. Sports heals, sports cares. You know, that's us, man.
Yeah, we had a great time. Have a great sports weekend, and we are out. Ray and Tay today.
Today.
Talking
sports.
Sports with friends.
Peace.